Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around. You're in the right place. Hey, this is Craig, and I just wanted to give you an update. Over the last 9 months, in large part because of your listener support, we've managed to build this show into one of the top guitar and human interest podcasts online. As a result, we now have openings for a select group of businesses to advertise on and sponsor this show. And I thought you, as a listener, would be in the best position to make recommendations to business owner friends of yours who might benefit from advertising here on the Everyone Loves Guitar Show. So if you know a business owner who might profit from advertising on this show, have them connect with me by going to everyonelovesguitar.com/advertising. Again, that's everyonelovesguitar.com/advertising. I'd love to have a brief conversation with them to see how we might be able to help. Thanks for your help. And now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber with Everyone Loves Guitar. And it's an honor and a privilege to have my guest today. We're with Ron Van Herpen. And he is the founder and the main writer and the guitarist from the band Astrosonic. And they're one of my all-time favorite bands. And he was actually one of the guitarists I was hoping to get on this show when I first started the podcast. The band is from Oss in the Netherlands. And Oss is actually a hotbed of talent, especially in the psychedelic rock genre. Astrosonic has released 6 amazing albums since 2000, including their brand new release, which is called Big Ideas, Dare Imagination, which we're going to talk about today. I first discovered Astrosonic around 2006, I think. I heard their album called Speeder People, which has one of my favorite songs in it. And their songs are like really very uncommon songs. Like this song is called Quadrant EL6500/ It's Monster Surfing Time. And it's just like, it sounds ridiculous, but it's not. It's anything but. It's like 13 minutes of just really cool, really amazing psychedelic rock. Ron is an incredibly talented guitar player. He's very tasty as a player. And he's actually, you know, I'm not just saying this because he's on the call. He's actually brilliant when it comes to song presentation, composing, and just listener engagement on all levels, and just plain flat out creativity. He's extremely creative. From there, when I first heard Speeder People, I worked my way backwards through their entire catalog, which includes their 2005 album called Made in Oss, which is one of my top overall albums that I own. And then in 2009, they came out with Quadrant, which is another great record. They have a song on there called As Soon As They Got Airborne, which is almost 15 minutes of just like amazingly intense guitar and drums. And they have some really creative sound effects that they use, unlike anybody I've ever heard. And then here's the thing, though. Then they just stopped making records, right? So for the last, I don't know, honestly, probably 5 or 6 or 7 years, I would just periodically search around for Astrosonic. And nothing. I had no clue what was going on. I literally looked all over the internet. I mean, they have a website. I didn't know if it was maintained or not. I didn't know anything. But today we're going to talk about the rest of the story and find out where they were. It's a really good story. And again, these guys are great. So let me first give you some background on the band a little more. As I said, Astrosonic's from the Netherlands, and their music is really like stoner rock. But I hate to use that term because it's not really stoner rock. I'd say strong space rock flavor. They got very heavy guitar riffs, very funkadelic grooves, and really lengthy psychedelic instrumental soundscapes mixed in with weird samples and very cool spacey electronic sounds. But these, you got to understand, these sounds that they have, they're not just like sounds, random sounds for sound sake. Everything is really weaved into the music and the melody incredibly well. I mean, it's just really unique what they do. They are, I'd say, always pushing the boundaries of rock, both live and on their records. There is now some good live stuff of them on YouTube. Their lyrics are inspired by science fiction, space travel, and other fantastic adventures. They have clips from old B movies, Wonder Woman episodes, and other sources frequently inside the music. Most of the themes are, continuing, fantasy and space, but some discuss the music itself. Live, they rock the shit out of you. It's a real rock concert here. These guys are going to like kick ass. They have like a video show going behind them, just like in the old days with, psychedelic animations, liquid cassette projections, and cool video clips, and again from science fiction and adventure. I would really encourage you to check them out on YouTube. They have some amazing live performances on there from Woolstock and even very recent ones. So what happened was their drummer, Marcel, who's one of the founding members of the band along with Ron, he had some physical injuries, some physical ailments. So what happened was the band took a hiatus from playing live, and after their 2009 album, they didn't make another record. As Marcel started to recover, he did lose his ability to drum, to walk, basically. So he's in a wheelchair, and he learned how to play with just his arms, which is just phenomenal to listen to him. The band reappeared at the 2015 Woolstock Festival in their very original lineup. In 2016, they played a packed green room at the infamous Roadburn Festival. And in 2017, they played the Acherontic Arts Festival. Sorry about that, in Germany. So I thought I'd butcher that one. All the while, again, Marcel figured out how to play just as good just using his arms. I mean, and he's got some videos of him drumming and doing some drum exercises online, which are modern, which are incredible. This month, their sixth album, which again is called Big Ideas, Dare Imagination, was released. The album's a personal tribute by Ron and Marcel to their former booking agent and band member named BD Van Drongelen, and who accidentally passed away. So that's a little bit about Astrosonic. Now I want to say about Ron. He started playing guitar when he was 9 or 10. He got hooked after listening to his first record, which was Love Gun by Kiss, which I can't tell you how many guys got turned on to rock and roll from listening to Kiss. After that came Van Halen, and then another band from the Netherlands called Vandenberg, and the new wave of British heavy metal bands. When he was 15, he got a phone call from his nephew asking him if he wanted to join his speed metal band, and he said yes. A half a year later, they recorded their first demo. The band was called Deafen, D-E-A-F-E-N, and the demo was called Beyond Death. When he was 19, he recorded his first CD around 1990. It was, again, a self-titled debut from the band Deafen. And Ron said that you could find the CD for $400 or more on eBay for some reason. And I looked when I wrote this up. It was on eBay for $799 or best offer. I couldn't believe it. So a few other bands later, he and got hooked up with Marcel Van. Tell me if I don't mess this name up, Ron. Marcel Van de Vondervoort?
Yeah, it's close enough.
All right. Sorry, Marcel. I apologize. They hooked up and they formed Astrosonic, and they started writing original song. They released their first album, which was called Son of a Pea Lady, in 1999. It was really well received. The band started touring, and they wound up playing the South by Southwest Festival here in Austin, Texas, and they did great. The band released four more albums over the next 9 years, and at that point in time, Marcel began having trouble with his leg. Legs. 1 year later, he ended up in a wheelchair as a result of a neurological disorder. During this time, Astrosonic was put on hold, and Ron got invited to join another cool psychedelic band. You can look them up. I didn't know this. The band's called Devil's Blood, another band I liked. And funny, I didn't know that Ron was in that band this whole time I'd been listening to them. That ran through 2013, at which point Ron left and started another new band called Zune. Check them out online, Z-O-O-N. They're a fantastic band. Ron plays steel guitar and resonator on that record. The record's called Deep, and it's kind of like, blues rock meets dark Americana. In September 15, Ron did a gig with a band from Texas called Scan, and that show went really well. He had a great time with them, and this year they have a brand new album coming out called Death Crown. There's a European tour planned in September, and meanwhile, this whole time was going. Marcel slowly started recovering, and the band started doing some more Astrosonic shows just for fun. went really well. Shows were well. Like I said, they played in Roadburn and in the Acheronic Arts Festival in Germany. And that arts that festival in Germany is actually related to Van Records, V-A-N, out of Germany. And they were the record label that's released all the – or most of the Astrotonic records on vinyl. Last year, Rob Zimmerman, Rob Martin, and our guest today, Ron Van Herpen, formed a band called R – is that just Rags?
Rags, yeah.
Rags, which is spelled R-R-R for the three guys, Rob, Rob, and Ron, Rags. They're headquartered out of Belgium. They're a 70s-oriented band in the tradition of Grand Funk or the Stooges, and maybe a little bit of Hawkwind thrown in. In December, they recorded their debut album with Marcel as the producer. I'm not going to try to say your last name again, Marcel. I apologize. And they played at Roadburn 2018. It was great, and they got a good reaction, and we're all curious to see where this band will end. Man, I just want to welcome Ron Van Herpen as my guest today. Thank you so much. And he's also, let me tell you what, he's the kindest, nicest guy. He's extremely empathetic as a human being, and he's a real good family guy. It's like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and he wanted to do the interview now so he could put his kids to bed. I don't know what anymore I could say good things about that. But thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
You make me blush.
That's okay. That's okay, man. For starters, I want to thank you for making such good music over the years. I've listened to the Made in Oz album, and I looked at this on my iTunes because, you know, it counts how many times. I've listened to that album 33 times on my iTunes, just on my here in the office, and probably another 30 times on my iPhone. So thank you very much, man. You've entertained me hours and hours, and you've given me great pleasure in my life over the years, man. I was curious. All your music is always in English, and is English that common in the Netherlands for people to speak?
Yeah. Most of the people in Holland speak English. We get it on when we go to high school. It's mandatory to learn it. So most of the people in Holland, they speak English. And also when you come to Holland as an American – people like to speak English to you back. So,
That's cool.
It's pretty common here. It's not a native language, but it's the biggest second language here. That's for sure.
Is there a big tourist? A lot of Americans come over there
for playing here.
No. I mean, just for vacation. Do a lot of is that a hot spot for vacationing?
Yeah. Cities like Amsterdam, Rotterdam, they sure.
Oh, right. Cause everybody goes and they want to smoke hash. That's what it is. Yeah. All right. I know. Not probably. I'm telling you, that's why people go, because everybody's like, oh, I went to Amsterdam, and you always hear the story. I saw this place. It said coffee. So I thought I can go in and get some coffee. That's what everybody says. And they didn't realize it's a hash bar.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
I just heard it last week. Someone told me that. Your playing is really diverse. You personally, I mean, you go from metal to Americana to blues to psychedelic funky rock. And I was curious where you picked up all these styles from.
Well, yeah, it's just some kind of, you know, throwing your anchor out, you know. Well, you said about this bluesy influences. I started, you know, with bands like Kiss and you already mentioned them, New Wave, British Heavy Metal, Iron Maiden, Ozzy Osbourne, you know, Randy Rhoads, Jake Lee, which I like a lot. But I also was very fascinated by the old Delta blues players, you know, the most famous one, Robert Johnson, of course. And that was the guy who put me into slide guitar. And I always enjoyed that. You know, I'm not as good as those guys, but I really liked doing that. And for me, that's the blues that I like the most. Of course, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, you know, and the Paladins. They are all very nice band. ZZ Top, the old material. But I was never a big fan of the standard blues rock bands. It was more, yeah, no Derek Trucks.
Oh, I saw him in concert, yeah.
He's a marvelous slide guitar player. Love what this guy's doing.
Incredible.
I'm a big, big fan of his lead playing. I think the music is sometimes a little bit too sweet for me, but his lead playing, I think it's absolutely amazing.
You know, I feel the same way. It's interesting you say that. Yeah. It's almost like you want him in a, you know, you used the word edge before we started talking on the, before we started recording. You almost like wish there was just a little bit more of an edge in the music itself, not his lead playing. That's funny that you say that. Yeah.
Yes. And I missed that a little bit in his music, but I really can enjoy his lead playing. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So if you ask me where the blues influences are coming from, I think it's from those guys, I guess. Mm. Derek Trex, of course, I discovered only a couple of years ago. But Jimi Hendrix and Robert Johnson and ZZ Top, they are from, you know.
Yeah.
They're coming from, you know, you start listening to music and then you wind up also with the other guys. But for me, the journey started with Kiss. That was the first record, you know. Then the seed was planted.
So, I find a lot of emotion in your playing.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a big compliment.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I enjoy it so much. And I was curious, like, what are you releasing? You know, that doesn't just happen.
Yeah. That's hard to say where it's released from. What I want to do is try to tell a story when you're playing a lead and not only play fast notes, you know?
Hmm.
And that's a difficult thing to do, you know? And also, one band that I didn't mention was Queen.
Hmm.
I'm a big Ryan May fan, also Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Dave Gilmour. I think those guitar players like that, they tell stories with their playing.
Yeah.
And if you hear all those shred guys, it's just about how fast they can play. And these guys are telling a story. Also with Angus Young.
Yeah.
I like them. I like him too. And for me, I wanted to tell something. At least I want to try to tell something. And for me, that's a big compliment you gave me. It means I succeeded in one way or another.
Oh, you know? many times over. No, definitely. You guys, as I said in the bio, you do a lot of unique things. First of all, your songs are very long, which I love, and as a musician, they're much harder to do that.
Yeah.
You know, to find something to fill up 8, 10, 12 minutes is much more difficult than 3.5 or 4.5 minutes. And they're not filled up with bullshit. They're filled up with good. I mean, there's always new passages and new, new sections and new themes. And the nice thing about it, and this is why I think you're successful at telling stories, you always, not always, but often you bring it back. So you connect, which is the same way a good writer, you know, take you on a journey, and then all of a sudden you're back where you're starting. Like, oh, now I get it. The whole thing comes together, you know? And I was curious, you do a lot of stuff like we talked about, the movie sound clips. Where did that idea come from, and how do you select which movie clips you want to use?
Well, the movie clips, you mean the things in between the songs? Like that sample things and things like that?
Like you'll have, right, the stuff in between the songs, right.
That's Marcel's thing. And I, to be honest, most of the things, I don't know where he's getting it from. I know he has a lot of telling science fiction stories on vinyl, yeah. And I know that he's very into that stuff. And some lyric ideas come from things like that. Also, some of the lyrics are pretty personal. I must say that too. It's not only about sci-fi, and sometimes it's personal too.
Sure. Do you guys write lyrics together, or you write it primarily?
Well, I write lyrics, most of them, but also our singer, Fred, he did write lyrics.
Hmm.
He also wrote a couple of songs also. Sometimes Marsha comes up with ideas for lyrics, so we're a good team, I guess.
So when you write lyrics, are you writing them in English?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. That's got to be difficult, man.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Yeah.
It's a really hard thing to do. And I know a lot of people who really like doing that. For me, it's always a big, big, big struggle.
It has to be, because when you're writing lyrics, they're feelings based, and you don't feel in English, I bet. You feel in Dutch, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you're having emotions in one language, and you got to convey them in another language, which is, yeah. I would think it's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. If for me, it's a hard thing to do. I know people who are pretty good at it, but for me, it's. I think that's the most difficult part of finishing a song. It's because the vocals and the vocal lines and the lyrics, they can really tear down a really good song.
Yeah, I can see that.
And for me, that's really the hardest part to do. It's always like, okay, I got a song and I got good ideas, and then, oh yeah.
Now you got to do the lyrics. It's almost like anticlimactic.
There we go again, you know. And it's really hard sometimes, yeah.
On the new album, the last song, Freezing.
Yeah.
It's like a really long, really funny clip about a bad man named Marcel. I assume you guys use that like to take the piss out of Marcel to give because of the name the same.
Well, I the guy who wrote the lyrics, he's actually a writer. He writes books, and he was the main lyric writer of AP Lady, the band we had before.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't in the band, but we used his lyrics.
Okay.
Also from the song You Lose from the debut album from Acid Sonic is also from his lyrics, partly.
Great song.
The first part is written by Beattie lyrics.
Mm.
And the choruses lyrics are from that writer. His name is Fred Handel. And because we wanted to invite a lot of guest musicians on Big Ideas Dare Imagination, we asked Fred to write a lyric for that psychedelic speed metal song. So he came up with a whole story. And then it was a really long lyric.
It is.
And then we had some ideas. Hey, why don't we find somebody who can read that lyrics? And Fred found someone in London, you know, an Englishman who has really the good pronouncement of the word.
Great voice.
Yeah, that voice is really great. And he did the spoken word. And Peggy, and she was also in Blixum.
Uh-huh.
You know, that band split up, but she was also in a band with Rob Martin, you know, the lead singer of Rex, and who sang the second song on the album. And she did the chorus vocals.
Okay.
Because you hear this spoken word, and then suddenly this really aggressive female voice kicks in, and that's Peggy. So the two of them did it.
And then the end of the lyrics was just like, Marcel was a bad man. But you picked the name Marcel just to pick on Marcel, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, no, well, I was explaining that, but I was losing it a little bit in my own story. But
No.
I asked, hey, is it about you? And he said, no, it's just Fred. He used that name, but it's just a character in his story.
Yeah.
And I think he used the name Marcel, just it sounded good, I guess.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Probably he was inspired by this whole AP Lady story, you know, that weird war spaceship kind of thing, which Marcel, I, Rob Zimmerman, who also is in Rex, was in that band, and also Don. He didn't sing on the record. He was also in that band. And we were the four, you know, operators of that weird vehicle. Maybe he was inspired by that, you know, because
yeah.
He also wrote the lyrics for that album. That could be.
That was very.
But it's a story on its own.
Yeah, it was really cool. You're involved in so many different projects. Are you like really efficient with your time? Like, how do you handle all those different things? Like, what's the secret? You know, give us some efficiency secrets here, man.
Oh, that's hard to tell. Yeah, I think I try to plan as good as possible, you know. And I'm really have a hard time doing it because I'm very chaotic in my head.
Hmm.
Also, I got some good support from back home here.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned that last time we talked.
My family helps me with it.
That's good. That's great, man. Hey, I want to talk about the new album, and I want to talk about some of my all-time favorite Astrosonic songs. Big Ideas, Dare Imagination, and you told me the story. I'd like you to share it with the listeners. It's a very cool title. How did you come up with that?
Well, as you mentioned before in your introduction, BD was one of the first members of the band, and he passed away last year on the 3rd of June. And that's what made us really motivated to finish the album this year. And we had something like, hey, shall we call the album BD? And I was a little bit like, maybe that's too, I can't find an English word for it. Can we make some kind of something? Can we do something with the initials? And then Fred, the guy who wrote the lyrics of Friesen, he came up with Big Ideas, Dare Imagination.
That's really cool.
The initials are BD, and I think that was perfect. That's why we named it the album like that.
It's funny when Fred, his physical presence fits right in with your music. Like when he's on stage with the glass, it's just like, you couldn't imagine another guy looking any different than him singing your music. Same thing with Zune. He's got the right look to sing and perform this kind of music. It's really appropriate.
It's not the same guy that wrote the lyrics. That's a different guy. Huh?
Oh, okay.
It's getting complicated because so many people were involved. But I'm sorry about that.
No, you got a lot of cooks in the kitchen. It sounds great, though. That's all that matters, you know? A lot of your songs are long, like I mentioned. When you first start writing a song, do you say, okay, this is going to be a long song, or does that just how it unwinds once you stretch it out, once you play together? Or?
Yeah, I think it's more like that. It evolves like that. Also with a song called You Lose on the first one.
Yeah.
I was really into, well, maybe we could make a real build-up psychedelic song with that one. And also, we are big fans of Hawkwind, who also have, long songs with lots of times one riff, repeating itself, and then a lot of psychedelic stuff over it. And we are big Hawkwind fans, so they are a big influence. So from when we started Astrosonic, it was pretty clear that we used Hawkwind as an influence and that we are going to write long songs. Not all the songs are long, but on every album, there are a couple of them.
Ron, Hawkwind's out of England?
Yes, English band.
You know what? I have one Hawkwind album, like a vinyl, but they never, at least in my circles, they never were big here. I don't know why. I have to go back and check them out now that you mentioned it. I only have one record, but I'm going to go back and look at iTunes and listen, or Spotify.
You know which one?
No, because I can't look it on here. It's on vinyl. I don't even have it on my iTunes. It's old, man. Like I'd be one of the guys just buy new shit when I saw it, and I probably like the album cover. I think it was a fold out, opens album cover like that. I like those albums. I don't remember which one, but I'm going to go back and check them out.
You know that Lemmy from Motorhead played in it?
The what's that?
You know that Lemmy from Motorhead?
Yes, I did know that. Yes. Not the whole time, right? Just a part.
No. I think quit it after the third record, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
I think after the live one, Live Ritual. I think it was that. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But he stayed with them for quite some while, and then he was kicked out because of a speed habit.
I saw that in a documentary.
Then he formed Motorhead.
Yeah, how to turn lemons into lemonade, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you played guitar and bass on this record. Do you usually do that?
Well, most of the time I do it on a couple of songs. On Quadrant, I did it also on a couple of songs. On this one, I do it on quite some songs, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you played
bass. But also Robert-Jan Grijthuis, who is also mentioned on the album. He did some bass work on the album too.
Are all these guys from Holland or Netherlands?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You recorded this in a recording studio or a home recording studio?
This one we recorded in the Marcel's home studio.
It sounds great. How about the other records? Were they at home or in a?
The first three records were recorded in a studio. We did the music there, and then Marcel finished it the mix at his home, and we also did the vocals at his home.
Mm.
But Speeder People was the first one we recorded completely in his home studio.
Yeah, he's a great engineer, man, because the mixing on all these records is phenomenal. I mean, that, really, really good.
This guy is really talented. Also very creative, too.
Yeah, well, especially when you got all those noises and sounds, it's you can't just throw them together. You got to be deliberate in how you're going to integrate them, and he does a great job with that, man. Really good.
Yeah, he has a lot of those psychedelic sounds are from his hand. And also, he, you know, we talk a lot about his songs, and he has also his input in the songs, and that's why we both take credits for the writing songs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that.
Album covers. Now, the new one is different, but all...
This new one is different.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. I was staring at that picture of trying to find hair somewhere before I asked this question. All the album covers have graphic references to hair, and I was curious how that came about, and does it have any significance?
Well, the guy who makes all the album covers is an artist. It's called Willem Geerts. Mm. He's from Holland. Yeah. He lives in Amsterdam. Also, a lot of time he is in New York. He's the guy who makes all the album covers. Also, the last one, who is a little bit different. And hair was, one big red line through all the album covers. But the last album, I think it was because, you know, the whole meaning of the album, and it was dedicated to Beattie, that he made an album cover which was more sober or basic.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm more graphic, you know.
I looked up, because you gave me his name, I just want to share that with the listeners, because he does some really, really interesting work. And I saw some photos in New York, so I was curious about that. Is it Willem, W-I-L-L-E-M?
It's W-E-L-L-U-M.
Okay, and his last name is Geerts, G-E-E-R-T-Z?
R-T-S.
R-T-S, William.
G-E-E-R-T-S, yeah.
Yeah, so check that out. He's just some really interesting graphic work. It's nice to look at some of that.
Yeah, he's a really great painter too, and he's an overall artist. He does a lot of different stuff.
On this record, you did a little more shredding than normal.
Yeah, on one song, I guess. Yeah, so
pretty much.
In Friesen, I did some stuff which you can describe as some shredding, yes.
Well, but also, let me just say, it's not shredding. It's just playing much faster than normal, but it's very melodic. It's extremely melodic. It's not just shredding just because he's trying to show off.
It was not my intention to do it. I felt like, hey, maybe it's cool to do this, you know? And also the dissonant twin lead, which you liked a lot, you know? And that dissonant twin lead was also a little bit like I played fast in the bars before. And it's also a little bit, you know, to, how do you say that in English? To fuck that up.
Yeah.
Just to not take anything, you know, put some humor in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and try to make it more itching or something.
Yeah. No, it sounded great. The whole thing was awesome.
It's a little bit like fucking with it, you know, like... let's make a real false sounding dissonant twin lead, you know, like the glazuric splitting off your teeth or something like that, you know.
Are those leads on separate channels? Like if you go left and right, can you hear them separately or are they mixed together?
I don't know that one. I have to listen.
Yeah, because I was thinking of, what was that other record you did with Zeus?
Zune. So.
No, it's Zeus, where you had you guys played the song on one channel.
Oh, sure, yeah, true. That's one band on the right. That's a really interesting experiment.
Yeah, that was weird, man. One on the right, but it was really cool because when you listen to them together, honestly, you really it just sounded good.
Yeah, that was a really special experiment doing that. It was an idea from Marcel to put one band on the right side and one band on the left side. And the band Zeus, I don't know if they're playing the left or right, but that was a band which we played a lot together live back in the days. So it was pretty obvious we asked them to do it. And they play on one side and Astrosonic is playing on the other side. It was really funny doing it.
What song was that? I want to tell people so they could listen.
Zero.
It was zero off of
speed of
quadrant. Yeah,
the lyrics are about the zero planes the Japanese used in the Second World War.
Very cool. Let's talk about some of the songs on the new record.
Yeah.
So again, it's called Big Ideas, Dare Imagination. You have a song called Vision Factor on there, yeah. And you have really cool. It's like you have a saxophone on there, and the saxophone is like a real badass, and it's almost like he's playing lead guitar.
Yeah, that's true.
Where did that come from? Like, what? That's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, we if you listen to our second album, Soundgate, we also dabbled around with saxophones in that one too. In this song called Aphrodite's Child, that's also a free jazz kind of sax solo, also in that song.
Great song.
But we always wanted to experiment with different instruments on every album, you know. We had the saxophone on the second album. You know, we have Willem also. Oh, that's also interesting. In the third album, I'm coming to your answer right away.
Yeah. On the
third album, Willem Geertz is also a musician. He plays trombone and he also plays piano. And he's the one who came up for the idea for the magic of the secret tiara.
Oh, shit. Really? That's one of my favorite songs. I have that
And he's the one who plays the piano and the synthesizer parts on that one. And also on Speed of People, we have this female jazz singer who does a song. And on Quadrant, we have from Urban Dance Squad. I don't know if you still know that band.
They were pretty popular a while ago, no?
Yeah, they made some name in the U.S., I think, halfway in the 90s. Mm. And he's the guy who played in the pedal steel on the song In Bloom.
Okay.
So we always had on an album experimenting with guest musicians who do some other instruments. And on this one, it was Marcel's idea to ask the saxophone player from Mannheim, who is a band from the Netherlands. Are they from Belgium? Ooh, they're from Belgium. And they have a very good saxophone player in that band. And something like, why not? Bring him in. So we did some saxophone solos on that song. And when the result was done, I was very happy with it.
It sounded great. I can't believe how accurate he was playing. It sounded like a sax playing a lead guitar, man.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
You know, you mentioned Magic of the Secret Tiara, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but you mentioned that first keyboard line that comes in right after the movie clip.
Yeah.
And then your guitar plays right after that. And it's like you have a lot of echo on there.
Yeah.
Right. True. That is like such a moving line, man. It sounds like not a B3, but it's just a keyboard. And then your guitar right there, man, every time I listen to it, it really like moves the shit out of me, man. It's just a very well done.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And then coming in though, what's cool about it is it's a surprise every time because you really get into the movie lyrics. And then next thing you know, it shuts off and ping, you know, that little chord there. It just sounds great, man. It was really well done.
Yeah, that thing was an idea from that album was also pretty special to record because we only had a couple ideas for the songs and we went in it and was like, okay, we don't have much ideas. Hey, let's start and we see where the ship ends. And Willem was there, you know, the guy who also made all the album covers. And he was sitting there. Yeah, I have this chords. Maybe we can do something with this. And he started playing it. And we start jamming right away on that one. So that idea was pretty,
spontaneous.
Yeah, very spontaneous. And a lot of improvisation in that one too. Really cool doing it.
I love, that's my favorite album, Made in Oz, I think. Is that the most popular album?
We were surprised that album did it so well because I think it was a pretty difficult album to listen to because it was pretty experimental stuff what was on it. And we found out that after the album was released, and Speedy People was released, that a lot of people mentioned that album as their favorite.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite.
Still do.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
that's
I love it. Let's go back to the new album, Big Ideas, Dare Imagination, The Great Escape. Is that, that's your original singer on that, correct?
No, no, that's Rob Martin from Rex also, the lead singer. And he's singing that song, which is about his brother who committed suicide.
It's a great...
which I told earlier in the interview.
Great song, man. And you guys did a really good job. There's a very long build, a great build up. There's a very long climax. You did a great job in that, man. I really enjoyed that song.
Yeah, I'm very proud on that one.
Yeah, you should be. And it was phenomenal.
And Rob did an amazing job by singing that. And the lyrics are so intense. And yeah. And it's also very... yeah, weird that he has his lyrics about his brother.
Yeah.
Who ended his life, and it comes on the album, which is dedicated to BD and a very precious friend of ours who passed away last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it all very emotional. And but yeah, it's amazing, I guess. For us, it's very special.
Is there lyrics on your website? Because I'd love to figure out what the lyrics are, some of these.
When the album comes out, there will be lyrics on the website.
Cool. I'd love to see that, man.
Bandcamp. Probably on Bandcamp.
Great, great. So we talked about Magic of Secret TR. That's one of my favorite songs. Black Chasm, also off of Made in Oz. Great song, really long jam. And I love the opening from the movie. To attack without knowing. Yeah. What a cool opening film clip, because, you know, like the whole song to me, it's like you could see like a space battle or something, you know, like a journey over a battle. I was curious, and your guitar work on there is fucking awesome. Is there a backstory to that song?
Well, that was one of the things we came up when we entered the studio to record Made in Oz. And it was also very spontaneously. We were like, hey, we don't have anything. So I started to riff out of the blue. Hey, maybe this is something. And I was a little bit dabbling around on my guitar. Hey, this might be something of a chorus. Yeah, okay, let's do this. And we'll see what happened. So that song is pretty much a jam session. So we started playing it, and out of cue, we said, okay, now the chorus comes. And then we go back to the riff, and out of cue, okay, now the chorus comes. And then we added the vocals later on.
Wow.
So it's really, it was really fun doing it. And I think we did two or three takes, and we took the best out of those three. And then... that was also the challenge by recording Made in Oz, like going into the studio and, okay, we'll see what's happened. Maybe nothing happens. Then we go back home. You know, it was really, really special.
So that whole album was really very spontaneous.
Yes, except for the song Solo Machine. That song was written before. And also the song Morning. I forgot the title.
Space Amazon, Soul Searcher, and...
Soul Searcher.
Soul Searcher, yeah, yeah. Another good song.
Yeah, that one was composed before and Solo Machine. And the rest was, pretty spontaneously.
That's amazing.
It was our goal, you know? Okay, let's start from nothing.
Yeah.
See what's coming out of there.
So when you do an album like that that is so improvisational, and then you got to go play it live...
Yeah.
Do you have to go back and listen kind of like a little bit?
No. Yeah, we did it. But then we started rehearsing it, and we just played it the same way we did it in the studio.
Okay.
You know, just okay. Also, we made some appointments like, okay, from somewhere there, we have to go, you know, with the dynamics a little bit down. So you start something like that. You know this is... going to happen, And then as a band, you try to go in that stuff as natural as possible.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting to do because you never know how you're going to get there.
Well, you guys.
Also, the singing parts are the cues, you know?
Yeah.
We develop the singing after we're recording it, and the singing parts are still the same. You know, okay. So that's
yeah, that's your cues to what to do.
That's the cues, but the middle part, yeah, we'll see what happens. And when you play that song a couple of times live, it's sometimes you do a great job, but sometimes it was less good, you know. That's also the challenge,
you know? Yeah. Ron, you grew up in the Netherlands, correct?
Yeah.
What kind of a town or city did you grow up in? Big, small?
Well, I still live in the same town I grew up. And it's a small town. Maybe a bit boring, but a lot of people live here, which I care a lot about. Mm. Like Marcel and a lot of friends of me are living here. And of course, the guy, we make music together. And then it's easy to sit in the same town. I guess so.
What was your childhood like growing up?
I don't have any complaints about my childhood.
Very cool.
My parents, they had a drugstore, and they supported me in making music. So they were a little bit weird, like, you want to play guitar? Oh, I should order a nail. I can, if you start quitting it within a few weeks, you know, I can, you know, hang it on a wall like a decoration, but. They never needed it.
Yeah. Very cool. So they were supportive of you pretty much becoming a guitarist.
Well, when I first started, they were like, it might be something, you know, it's just a phase. And then maybe we'll do it a couple of weeks and then we'll quit it. But
okay, I gotcha. But didn't happen.
It didn't happen. No, not at all.
You have brothers or sisters?
I have one brother. He's 3 years older than me.
Okay. And did he play music?
He played for a while, yes. But he liked playing it, but he never was that fanatic as me.
But his son was. That was your nephew who...
I'm sorry?
His son was, because you said your nephew invited you to play. Was that his son?
No. This nephew was the son of my... of the sister of my daddy.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you. Okay. Yeah. 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 So it was your, okay. Your son is, okay. So it's your cousin.
Nephew. It's cousin.
It's your cousin. Yeah. Yeah. Because I was,
it's my cousin. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all good. Because I read that, I was like, wow, your brother must be much older. And you said,
No. It's a cousin.
Yeah. 3 years. I'm like, oh, wow. He must have had a kid when he was 11 or something like that.
I forgot.
No, it's all good. How's the music business? Or the fans different in the Netherlands or in Europe in general compared to the States? Because you've played both.
I played both, yeah. There is some difference. I think the fans in other countries are more, if you ask me, are more extreme, more outspoken than they are in the Netherlands. Maybe that's because we have a pretty good social system here, you know, and in other countries, those subcultures are, they're pretty extreme, you know, they're more,
extreme as far as like vocal about, more passionate or more excitable.
But they completely live for the subculture.
Okay.
I think in Holland, people do that too, but it's less extreme.
Okay.
Outspoken, you know, more extreme in how they look, you know, it's.
So like, for example, if you go on Facebook, and I'm sure you've seen it, you have these like stoner rock band, pages or something. And like you could pick any topic, Ford, F-150s. Trucks. Yeah. And where some of the people on there are like their whole life revolves around their passion for that thing.
Yes.
So that's what you mean. Whereas in the Netherlands, are they more balanced or just less fanatical?
I think less fanatical.
Interesting.
But that's also because, yeah, most of it, huh? There are fanatical guys here too. But I think it is because we have a social system here, you know? A lot of things are financed by the government, like venues and cultural stuff. And I think in the States, that happens a lot less.
Yes. Yeah. There's no, the government doesn't finance any kind of arts here.
So if you are a musician in the States and you want to be a real professional musician, I think you have a hard time there. And a lot of times you have absolutely no money.
Yes.
And in Holland, you can always fall back on a social security system, you know?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
That might be, you know, a cause for that, but
because there's so much more effort, it takes. I understand what you're saying. In other words, you're putting so much more into it, so that's why the people tend to be more passionate about it.
That could be, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. That's interesting. Are people over there, like, for example, when you know, my wife is from the UK, and I'm from New York City, and when I first met her family, you know, they were like, oh my God, that American doesn't shut up. You know, not because I don't, you know, they didn't mean it bad, but just like they're not, that's a more reserved society in general. You know, it's not that like I don't shut up. It's just that I talk much more forward and stuff like that. Where does socially people in the Netherlands fall? Are they more quiet or even or? If it's possible to describe.
Yeah, I'll try something. I think the Dutch people are pretty noisy, I guess.
Oh, okay.
If you compare the Dutch people to the Belgians, I think the Dutch people are more rude.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, they are. And I think they're, for building up real friendships, I think they're pretty much reserved in the beginning. When my experiments in America, people are pretty open, you know.
Yes.
It's very easy to have conversations in the States. I think it's a bit more difficult here.
Interesting.
But I think the Dutch are, I think they're pretty noisy. Yeah.
It's funny. Like,
the drunk and brawling over the street, you know, and
shouting. It's funny you said that because I was reading an article about a person that was from the States and they went to go work in Germany.
Yeah.
And they were explaining some of the differences. And one of the differences they said was that in the States, you know, on Thursday night or Friday night, you go out for some drinks with your coworkers. That never happened in Germany. That's just not what they do. And they thought it was so odd because to us, it's like, it's a release. You know, you go out, you blow off some steam and you go out with your coworkers. It's like pretty weekly almost. Where would it be like in the Netherlands? Do people socialize at work or no?
Till a certain level. I think I only can speak for me personally, but
yeah.
I keep those things a little bit separated.
Interesting. So it's more like closer to Germany than it is here. Interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah. It's interesting how, like, you know, we speak the same language and we can have a conversation, but there's certain cultural things that are just really different.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though.
Yeah, I always find it interesting to learn, you know, about different things.
But I like my colleagues at work. Don't get me wrong.
No.
but I have my personal life, which is different from work.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a bit like keeping that separated, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more common. Like over here, it's pretty much everything is out in the open.
Yeah.
For you, like
the one thing is better than the other.
No. It's just it is what it is. You know, it's like it's just different. What are some of the biggest obstacles that you've had to deal with throughout your musical journey? Like things that you've had to overcome, either personal or music or business related.
Well, insecurity for me is a hard one always.
As a player.
yeah, as a player, and I think a lot of musicians are struggling with that.
Yes.
You know, it's always insecure about your playing, and is it good, you know? And for me, that's a really hard one, because you know, I almost never satisfied with my own playing, which in one way it's good,
yeah.
I guess, because it keeps you, you know,
demanding, yeah,
and demanding. But yeah, other obstacles, I think, yeah, it's pretty hard, you know, to play on. Maybe I put it this way: when you want to play on the right spots, on the right places, you have to have a network. You know, you have to know people.
Sure.
And I think networking was not a very good. I was never good at it, you know.
And right.
The guy who passed away, he was very good at it.
Hmm.
So the moment we start to know him, and he started to do bookings for us and managing the band, things were quite going more smoothly from
yeah.
that moment. So I think that's a thing, obstacle which I struggled a lot in the bands before Astrosonic. It's getting to the right places, you know, meet the right people who have the right, you know, channels to bring you to the people that are important to you, and that's very important.
Yeah.
For a band, you know. Bring yourself to the right people and have contacts, you know, and because maybe it shouldn't be that way, but yeah, the business works like that.
Yeah, sure.
You have to know people, you know, you have to be at parties and things like that.
So if you had to give yourself younger Ron advice, you know, what advice would you have liked to have heard from 10, 20 years ago, 25 years ago even?
I think be less insecure and have more balls, you know, for doing things. And also for me, the real creative part as a writer, as a songwriter, I think was around 1996 when I joined a band called T-Nailed. We only made one album with that band. But for me, it was interesting to get experience as a songwriter. Of course, I wrote songs for Defen. And that band wasn't very productive because, yeah, if you ask me the reason, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if I could go back in time, I should make myself more productive in these years, I guess.
Interesting, because
And at T-Nailed, I worked with Eric, and I learned a lot from him. And I think a lot of creativeness came from that band. It was also a band which Marcel was involved, who was the producer and, you know, one of the founders of Astrosonic together with me. So it was also for me a good learning period to work with those guys in one band. So, and it maybe for me personally, maybe it should happen sooner.
Yeah. It's interesting because your writing is has a lot of balls. Your creativity and your playing has a lot of balls. So yeah. Oh, come on, man. You're just ripping it. You kidding me? You're like very forceful. Like I said, to me, I'm not looking for the guy that's playing the fastest notes. I'm looking for the guy that's making me feel something, you know, and your playing is very emotionally powerful and it fits in well with what you write. So, yeah, man. I mean, it is what it is. That's sure. As far as your playing goes, you don't use a lot of effects in your actual guitar playing, other than maybe some distortion or overdrive and a wah, or at least it sounds like that. Is that correct, or do you lose a lot?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now I have some vibratone thing in it because I like the sound of that too.
Yeah.
But normally it's only a couple of overdrives and a wah pedal. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. What?
And some delay too.
What's that? And some delay? Yeah, some delay, of course.
It's
yeah.
More for freaky sounds and. And sometimes I use a volume pedal. With a delay, you can have some violin kind of effects, which I like to do too. But yeah, it's nothing more than that. Sometimes a phaser. here and there. But I hardly use it live. It's more like in the studio.
Yes. Which your number one guitarist? It's a Les Paul.
Yes, played for Les Paul for quite some time, but now I have an Eastman.
Really? Is that the 335 looking one?
Yes, that's that one. Yeah, it's an Eastman. Eastman is a Chinese brand.
Yep.
And the one I have is a 486 T40. T486B, and B stands for Bigsby.
Hmm.
And it's a US copy, an ES copy, the Gibson one. And I like that one a lot. I play a lot of it. Last year's, that's my favorite at this moment. It changes, you know, maybe next year it's I grab the Les Paul again.
Yeah.
But I like the Les Pauls too, though.
What made you get the Eastman? That's for a guy playing Les Paul for all those years, and you switched to a semi-hollow body.
Yeah, it's I already had an Eastman acoustic.
Okay.
But for Zone, that band, I wanted to have.
Yes.
I thought the Les Paul was too muddy and too fat, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was looking for something in between. And that's how I came with the hollow body. And I, from the first beginning, I liked it a lot.
Is there a big guitar selection in the Netherlands?
Well, I have two Les Pauls. I have one, the hollow body Eastman. I had a kind of Eastman acoustic. And I got a square neck resonator.
Mm.
And I also got a round neck resonator.
Yeah.
And I got a Ibanez Gibson Explorer imitation from the 80s, which I like also a lot. So it's not that much. I know guitar players who have 20 guitars.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to someone yesterday, they had 60 guitars. I'm like, holy shit, man. That's a lot.
I want to have that many. And I probably would have, but and a lot of guitar, you know, one day I want to have a good Strat, you know, a nice Telecaster.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guitars I want to have, but I'm not that rich, you know.
No, I hear you, man. Sorry. No, go ahead.
Also, I want to have a National Resonator.
National Steel?
A Tricone. I really like Tricones, resonator guitars. They're very expensive, so hopefully one day I will have a Tricone.
Do they have those out there? Are they common?
No, they only have two stores who sell them.
Where is
in Amsterdam, and one is in the east side of the country, a long drive from here.
Oh, how far is Amsterdam from you?
Well, it's not that far. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're really out in the country.
Well, for Dutch standards, I'm in the countryside, but you know, it's such a small country, and a lot of people live here in a very small area, so. It's a little bit difficult, a little bit more different than in the States.
Yeah, okay.
17 million people, you know, in a small country.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Your Les Paul, is that a standard? What? Tell me about it.
Well, I got two Les Pauls. One of is a Les Paul Silverburst. He's from 1980.
Yep, I like that one.
It's a real special one. And the other one is a Cherry Sunburst, and it's a classic. And it's from 1995, Yeah, 1995. It's a Les Paul classic.
Awesome. Hey, musically, what would be your top three, you know, records or desert island discs, as they say?
Oh, that's such a difficult question.
Well, here's the good news. Just for today, that's it. And you could change them tomorrow, so not permanently.
Okay. I think Rising from Rainbow.
Rainbow Rising. I just played that last week. That's so funny.
Yeah, I love it. Really, really good album. And now that might be a bit strange for you. Is Sisters of Mercy?
Okay. No, I just they're a metal band, right?
Slutland. And I think Queen Life Killers. But as you say, it changes every day.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
But most of the times, Love Gun is in it from Kiss.
From Kiss, the original, where it started.
Yeah, maybe I should change Sister Mercy for Love Gun. Yeah.
All right, you're allowed. Man, you could keep all four just for today. Special.
Okay.
One day only, fire sale. Hey, this is a tough question. What do you like? What do you like most about yourself?
Whoa. It's really a tough question.
It is.
Well, I think that I'm pretty easygoing, I guess. Yeah.
If I asked your wife that question, would she agree?
You want to ask her?
No, I'm just saying. Everybody thinks that I always think I'm easygoing, and my wife's like, "You're not easygoing at all."
I'll ask her. Hey, Pete. Just a minute.
This is a first. Ron's going to ask his wife.
Well, she said also easygoing.
Oh, really? That's cool, man.
But also accept a person like he is. And I think I'm, yeah.
So you're not judgmental.
I can agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have, you know what? You probably don't have expectations out of people. It's easy to accept them if you don't have expectations.
Yeah, yeah, you can might put it like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But if someone is different, then I accept that.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool, man.
Yeah, I think you should respect the other, also if they have different views about politics or whatever.
You know, it used to be like that in this country that nobody. You know, when you met somebody, you never asked them, like, what your politics are. I mean, like, I never did anyway. I mean, I still don't. That doesn't, you know, that's not an important thing to me about somebody. I don't, you know, define if I could have a friendship with them or not, or a relationship with them, or a conversation by what their political views are. That doesn't matter. I don't think I have the right. It's none of my business. That's like saying, you know, who you're having sex with. That's not anything I have any. No, seriously, that's not anything I have any business saying. But a lot of in this country, anyway, I don't know what it's like over there. But like Facebook is, it seems like a place where it's caused a lot of division about that stuff.
That's really true.
Same over there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I don't understand that, man. You know, it's like
for me. Political views are not very important either.
Yeah. Hey, what's the happiest moment or time in your life so far? The
happiest moment of time in my life. Well, one thing, and I'm sorry, it's maybe a boring answer, but becoming a dad is
it's not boring at all. And you have one or two? How many kids you have? Two.
All the cliches are true. I got two kids.
Good for you. How old are they?
6 and 8.
That's great, man. Yeah, I like that about you the first time we talked, man. You could see that was important about you, and I like that about you. So that's not boring to me at all, anyway.
Yeah, but that's really, the cliches are true, I guess.
Well, you probably had a good childhood so that you know, that is something you're open to.
I guess so. Of course, my childhood also had some issues, but when I see it in the, it was when I see the whole picture, I had my struggles, just like everybody.
Sure. It's like everybody, man.
And things like that. But we try to do as good as possible raising kids, you know, and sometimes you have questions which are not easy to answer.
Yes,
but you do as good as you can, and let's make the best out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's your favorite American food? I know you spend a little bit of time here.
My favorite American food, it's definitely the meat.
Right, you mentioned that last time. What kind of meat? Like ribs, brisket?
Yeah,
yeah. Ribs are great. Yeah, because you were in Texas.
I was in Texas, and the meat there is great.
Yes.
And I'm struggling a little bit with it because I'm something like, out of principle, I shouldn't eat meat, you know. But I like the taste so much, and in Texas, I ate the best.
you don't eat a lot of meat at home?
I'm trying to eat less meat.
So what do you eat, fish instead?
No, I don't like fish.
Oh, but cottage cheese? What do you eat?
Yeah, just cottage cheese.
That's a little inside joke, Ron.
But things like a lot more vegetables and nuts and things like that.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're like,
but don't get me wrong, I love eating meat. It's really, and in Texas, I had the best spare ribs ever, and we made a stop along the highway, and it was a real shitty looking. Yeah, what was it? Like a kind of snack bar, or and a really friendly woman was in there with a can of coffee, and I don't like coffee, but she offered me, and yeah, I don't like coffee. Ah, that's all right, honey, you know. And she gave us spare ribs in a really, you know, cheap looking, yeah, what was it? Like a ashtray looking thing or something. And it tasted really, really good. I forgot the name of the place, but it was the best spare ribs I ever ate. It was really, really amazing. And we were all sitting there like, oh.
What, was this with Astrosonic? What band were you here with?
It was with the Devil's Blood.
Yeah. You know,
I think it was somewhere in Arizona. It was the southern regions. I'm sure of that.
Those rib shacks on the side of the road often get the best ribs there. Just so yeah, you know.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was really good. And that woman, she was so friendly. It was very special.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Hey, do you have any hobbies outside of music?
Yes, I read. I like to read books.
Mm-hmm.
And novels, but also nonfiction kind of stuff. Like history things. Mm-hmm. I think it's really also biographies from musicians, which I think are very interesting. I like to watch series and movies.
Man, there was a series here about 2 years ago, and I think it came from the Netherlands.
Which one?
It was a cop series. It was really good. It was
we know the name?
The Missing or the
Killing.
The Killing. Is that from
No, it's from Denmark.
Okay.
People are Denmark or Sweden? I think it's Denmark, but people recommended me that series, but I didn't see it yet.
It was great, man.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, man, it was great.
I think they have a remake, an American one.
They have a remake that's an American one, and then they show here, they show the one from Denmark, I guess, with subtitles. Yeah. I can't watch subtitles. I just don't have the patience. But the American one was great, man. It was.
I should check that one out.
The Killing. Yeah. It was on Netflix here. I don't know. It was great, man.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
And also like to play board games, so I'm pretty nerdy too.
That's cool, man. I'm glad I got to learn all these things about you. It's interesting. Yeah. Man, I'm going to ask you two more questions, Ron, and I cannot thank you enough for spending all this time. And I know I'm asking questions that are not normal questions that you get on an interview in the Netherlands. So I appreciate you being so open to answering this. What's been the biggest change in your personality over the last 10 years? And how much of this change has been deliberate and intentional? And how much is just a natural part of aging?
I think the biggest change is that I'm more confident in being myself.
That's beautiful, man.
And have more self-humor, you know? And I think that's, I think that's the biggest change. Like, okay, I be myself. Yeah, if you don't like it, that's your problem, you know?
Yeah.
Before that, you were a bit insecure, you know, and like okay, and I want the other to like me, and for now it's more easygoing.
Is that something you worked on yourself, or is that just natural process of aging?
It's something I worked on. Yeah.
Good for you, man. I'm happy for you. You have a lot less stress when you really like that.
It's not always easier. I have to admit that, but
sure, man.
But that's I think that's one important thing. Maybe that's also come with getting older, you know.
And last question, man.
Yeah.
Knowing that life is precious and you don't have all the time in the world, what's the one thing that's most important to you to make sure that the time you have here, you spend it wisely? Like what state of mind or, stuff like that?
Yeah. You want me to tell something about it?
No. Okay. So what's most important to you about the time you have here?
Because
you only have so much time left. What do you want to make sure that you're doing most, you know, that's in your life or the part of your thinking that you have so that the time you have here is enjoyable?
Well, I think there are two things about that. First of all, I'm making music. It's very important. And try to make the best music as possible. And on the other side is enjoying what you have. Make lots of fun. Act stupid once in a while. And getting drunk sometimes. So it's very important too. And having great time with my family and friends.
That's awesome.
Especially acting stupid is really important once in a while.
Cutting loose.
Yes, cutting loose, yeah. And I think I appreciate what you have. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I cannot thank you enough. You're a real sweet guy. I'm glad I got to talk with you. You've made me really happy over the years with all the music you've played. I hope I turn a bunch of new people onto you. And let me tell people where to find you and how to listen to your music. First of all, it's Ron Van Herpen. Ron, his last name is Van Herpen, V-A-N. Am I saying that right?
Van. Van.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ron Van Herpen. It's V-A-N-H-E-R-P-E-N. And the name of the band is Astrosonic, A-S-T-R-O-S-O-N-I-Q. They've got 6 albums out. They're great. The new album, Big Ideas, Dare Imagination, was just released this month. And you can get that several places. Van Records, V-A-N, or Von Records. Is that right?
Yeah, Von Records. Yeah,
Von, German. Yeah, Von Records out of Germany. And, of course, you could find it on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp. And also go to Facebook and look up Astrosonic. Again, it's A-S-T-R-O-S-O-N-I-Q. And they also have a bunch of merch on Facebook. And just shoot an email to the address on Facebook, and I think you will get the man himself, Marcel, to respond and answer you. And I hope you... if you're over in Europe, please keep your eyes and ears out for Astrosonic and support them on tour. These guys are just phenomenal. Ron's a tremendously smart guy, great guitar player, and super creative. So thank you again so much, man. This is a lot of fun. I hope this is okay for you.
And, yes, I enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, man. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Thanks again to Ron Van Herpen for spending time with us. I appreciate it. Go to everyonelovesguitar.com, sign up to get notified about future episodes and get on our newsletter list. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have some fun. Till next time, peace and love, and I'm out. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.